I see great things in baseball. Our game. The American game.
The one constant through all the years has been baseball.
98.5 The Sports Hub and Tony Mass still have the latest Red Sox and MLB happenings during the offseason. This is the Baseball Reporter's Offseason Podcast, available on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Sports Hub app, bpodstudios.com, and wherever you get podcasts. Now, here's Mass.
Okay, welcome into the Baseball Reporter's Podcast. No guests this time. No guest. I do want to catch up on a number of Red Sox things. Haven't had really a chance to speak to listeners directly regarding some of the off-season stuff with the Red Sox here, of which there's been really very little so far. So I want to get there, and I want to start with Mookie Betts, which we'll do in 1 second. But just quickly, remember, you can listen to the Baseball Reporter's Podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 Sports Hub app. While you're there, you can also check out other original podcasts from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can also find all of these at B-Pod Studios and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the usual places. And thanks to producers Roger Moore and John Riley. So, and obviously, I put out the Tool Bags podcast too, so I'm going to give that one a little extra juice, just so you have it. But as it pertains to the Red Sox, we're closing in on Christmas here, and it's always a little risky doing podcasts this time of year in Major League Baseball, because oftentimes my experience has been that there can be a little bit of a flurry of activity right before Christmas. You know, years ago, and it's not this way necessarily anymore, baseball used to shut down during the holidays and not really get cranked up again until spring training. And so it was an opportunity for everybody in the game to shut down, and so teams tried to take care of final business before the holidays. That isn't really true anymore, so by the time you're listening to this, it could be that some things have changed. But most notably with the Red Sox, what is taking place at the moment is potentially the trading of Mookie Betts, maybe to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bob Nightingale of USA Today earlier this week reported that the Red Sox and Dodgers had begun exploratory conversations on Mookie Betts. Now, there's a lot of ways to take this. Let me just tell you up front. Bob Nightingale has covered baseball for a very long time. I have a lot of respect for him and a lot of respect for his reporting. He knows a lot of people in the game, and he knows a lot of people on the West Coast. So I will say that in particular. I think he's always been pretty well connected with the Dodgers organization. So if you're asking me, do I think this is real? Yes, I think it's real. I think the Red Sox have to move payroll, which I'll get to in a minute, which we all know. And I don't think Mookie Betts is their preferred choice to move payroll, but I think they may end up there independent. You know, they just may not have a choice. So let me start here. The idea that the Red Sox have to trim payroll, and I hear people say, why can't they spend the money? What do we care about the luxury tax? And I'll tell you this, that when people start accusing the Red Sox of being cheap under this ownership, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's lazy. Frankly, I think it's lazy. There's a lot of things you can criticize the Red Sox for under the ownership of John Henry. Cheapness is not one of them. Okay, they've spent consistently. In fact, the payroll basically has gone up dramatically every year since they've taken over the team. And every third year, consistently, they reset so to minimize the luxury tax penalties. Okay, so again, you're not going to hear me say the Red Sox should completely blow it out of the water and go spend $275 million on a team. I just don't think that that's realistic, and you're not going to hear me call them cheap. I just think that that is really stupid and lazy, frankly. So how do they move their money? The preferred way to do it would be David Price or Chris Sale. They need to move a $30 million contract, I think, off of this roster. Mookie Betts is going to come close to it. Chris Sale's at $29 million. David Price is at $31 million. So Sale missed the second half of the year with a elbow injury. I think there's zero chance of moving Sale. We'll get to his contract and that of Nathan Eovaldi in a minute here, because I do have some specific thoughts on the two of them. Price would be the obvious choice to move. He's got 3 years. He's got $96 million left, an average of $32 per. And after the signings of Gerrit Cole for $36 million a year, 9 years with the Yankees, and then the signing of Steven Strasburg back to Washington, and that was $35 million for 7 years. After those two contracts, Price all of a sudden didn't look like a bad deal. Except What happened after that is that Madison Bumgarner signed for 5 years and $85 million with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's only $17 million a year. Think of that for a second. Madison Bumgarner got half, less than half, of what Steven Strasburg and Gerrit Cole got on an average annual basis. He also got fewer years. The contract that went to Madison Bumgarner is effectively the same contract that the Red Sox gave Nathan Eovaldi a year ago. Okay, so the point being, David Price's $31, $32 million is still a huge overpayment, even with the Cole deal, even with the Strasburg deal. So in order to move him, the Red Sox have to get creative, either include a prospect, either include a player, or eat half the money. If they eat half the money, it defeats the purpose. So this brings them to Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. And there are very few teams in baseball that can absorb Mookie Betts, given the fact that he's going to be basically a $30 million player for 1 year. The Dodgers are one of them. So my only concern with the Dodgers and Mookie Betts is whether LA really wants him. Because the Dodgers were negotiating with the Cleveland Indians for Francisco Lindor, the gifted shortstop of Cleveland. And the Indians subsequently have moved Corey Kluber, their ace, to the Texas Rangers. So there's now indication that the Indians don't want to move Lindor, or certainly they can be more selective in moving Lindor. And that means the Dodgers may have to overpay to get him, if you're following the logic. So what's the best way to bring down the price? Create another option. And my only question is whether the Dodgers really want Betts, or whether they're using him as leverage with Cleveland to get Francisco Lindor. And if the Dodgers are serious about Mookie Betts, then to me, the Red Sox can get a good deal. I'm not saying a great deal, and I'm not saying pennies on the dollar. A decent deal. If the Red Sox can get that, I'd move Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. Now, look, there's value in keeping Betts here for the 1 year. But realistically, and I've said this for a long time, I think Mookie Betts wants out of Dodge. I think he wants to leave Boston. I don't think he wants to be here. Doesn't make him a bad guy. Doesn't mean the Red Sox don't want to pay him. But I'll tell you what, even under this scenario, let's say Mookie Betts does want to be here. Mike Trout got 12 years and $420 or $30 million or something of the like. I can't even give you the exact number. I just know that it was preposterous. If Mookie Betts is looking for something close to that, and again, over the last 3 years, you could argue he's been the second best positional player in baseball. But if what he wants is a 10-year, call it $375, $400 million deal, are you giving that to him? Because I'm not. So my point is, even if he wants to be here, but he wants that contract, see you later. I'm done. I'm not signing Mookie Betts for that contract. I've always felt that he was a little overrated in this market. He's a good player, a very good player. I don't know if he's a truly great player. And so I'm trading Mookie, assuming it's not just a giveaway. I'm not dumping the salary. So now there's all types of possibilities that could make him more appealing for the Dodgers. Can they re-sign him? Would the Red Sox have to attach something else? And I'll give you the particulars on those when they pop up. But to me, Betts to the Dodgers makes a lot of sense. They have a deep player development operation. Other than Cody Bellinger, they have a couple of outfield spots open. I think their other spots in the outfield are flexible, for lack of a better word. And so Mookie could fit out there. And remember that a year ago, the Dodgers wanted Bryce Harper on the free agent market. They didn't get him. So the Dodgers have the money. They have the space. And I mean that in the lineup. There are a lot of things that make sense about Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. And if he does want to re-sign there, then maybe the Red Sox can get a little bit more from him. Maybe that's something they can explore before they make the trade. I'm not sure they will, but I think it's something worth thinking about. So that's where we stand on Mookie Betts. And I think that, again, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm moving him. As for Price, he would be the preferred choice. I don't think they're going to be able to move him without eating money after some of those other contracts, okay? Which brings me to the pitching deals that have been out on this market this offseason. And I've seen different things written and said about some of the pitching deals out there. Obviously, the Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg deals are huge. And if you want to say that they're stupid, my answer would be yes. They always are. That's just the way it works in free agency. When these guys hit the market, more often than not, they end up with stupid contracts, which is probably what's going to happen with Mookie Betts when he gets there. And I generally don't like stupid contracts unless you are so desperate and in so close to a championship that you can't pass it up. So if I'm the Yankees, it makes sense. I think that team is on the cusp. I think the Red Sox have a little bit of work to do, and Betts is a huge dilemma for them. So, you know, to me, I worry about the size of that contract. I don't think the Red Sox are going to suck in 2020. Let me make that clear. I think they have a chance to be sneaky competitive. And I'm eager to say I'm actually intrigued by the kind of year they could have, because I think a lot of people are going to count them out. And I think that there's still a lot of talent on the team. But with regard to the pitching contracts, they have too much money invested in the starting rotation between Sale, Price, and Eovaldi. If those guys get injured, they're screwed. They have no pitching depth whatsoever, and this is what did them in last year. Now, I've seen and read and heard different things offered up about the Red Sox pitching contracts in the wake of the Cole and Strasburg deals. For example, Peter Abraham of the Boston Globe, whom I think is doing a terrific job as a columnist there since he was elevated to that position. But recently, Pete wrote that, the Chris Sale deal in the wake of the Cole deal and Strasburg deal, Sale's deal for 5 years and 145 looks pretty good, $29 million a year. That would be a bargain if he's healthy. Then Bumgarner signed. And again, Bumgarner got 5 and 85. Bumgarner has also had some health issues over the last couple of years, but he's pitching and he's, you know, he generally is. It's not anything that has an entire season in jeopardy. Chris Sale's more hurt than Madison Bumgarner is. So when you put Sale's deal up next to Bumgarner's deal, who would you rather have? I'd rather have Bumgarner 5 times 17 than Sale 5 times 29. I think it's a no-brainer, in fact. So the Sale deal, my point is this, that contract, still a freaking colossal mistake. Massive, massive mistake. And as bad as that one is, Nathan Eovaldi might be worse. So remember, Eovaldi hit the market after a terrific postseason in 2018. And we all wanted him back. We all said the Red Sox have to re-sign this guy. And when they gave him the contract, you know what I said? Massive overpayment. $17 million a year for Nathan Eovaldi. He's really about a $12 million pitcher. So I want you to consider this. Now that Eovaldi's making $17 million and he's gone back to being exactly what he was before the Red Sox brought him to Boston, okay, which is a end-of-the-rotation guy who is not even healthy all the time. Rick Porcello just hit the market and got 1 year and $10 million. Who would you rather have? 1 year and $10 million, Rick Porcello or Nathan Eovaldi. I'll take Porcello every single time. Okay, and I'm not even factoring in the 4 times 17 yet that Eovaldi got. And again, I go back to Bumgarner. The average annual salary of Bumgarner's deal is the same as Nathan Eovaldi. Again, think of that for a second. Nathan Eovaldi and Madison Bumgarner make the same salary. $17 million per. Bumgarner got an extra year. But if those two deals don't crystallize for you, how much the Red Sox overpaid Nathan Eovaldi last offseason. I'm going back now to, again, after the 2018 season. Then I don't know what does. I tried to tell people this at the time. Everyone thought I was being typically negative, which is, a fair criticism. The idea that deal is somehow a fair deal is crazy. I mean, Eovaldi made out like a bandit during that offseason. All of this taken into account. Remember, if and when the Red Sox move money, and they're going to move money, the luxury tax threshold is $208 million. Right now, they're around $220 million. Okay? They don't just have to shave, though, $12 million from $220 million to get under $208 million. They really have to shave like almost $30 million. Because they will still have needs to fill in the rotation. They've actually already signed Martin Perez, left-handed pitcher. They have needs in the bullpen. They're going to have needs on the right side of the infield. They have a need for a backup catcher. And if they move Mookie, they'll have a need for an outfielder. So there's a lot to consider there, that as much as moving the money off the payroll, you can't just get under 208. You got to leave yourself room to address your needs. And then at the same time, you have to leave yourself room to make deadline acquisitions during the regular season. In any case, that's basically where we are at the moment. You know, we'll see how things go here in the next few days. Again, I think there's a chance the Red Sox could make a move before Christmas. That was sort of an artificial deadline historically in Major League Baseball. That said, for those of you that listen to the podcast and listen to the program, I just want to thank you sincerely for, and I mean this from the heart, that the sports fans in Boston are unlike any other place in America and maybe the world. And there's no better place to talk about sports or to talk about baseball in particular than Boston. And so from myself specifically, a happy holiday season and safe holiday season to all of you out there that have listened to the program. Again, a reminder, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. You can also listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, be sure to check out all the other original podcasts from 98.5, Boston's Home for Sports. In addition, you can also find podcasts of all the daytime programming and nighttime regular programming here at 98.5. You can also go to bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. I know I'm giving you a lot to digest there. Again, thanks to producers Roger Moore and John Riley. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. We'll see you in 2020.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.